Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and this is my rock star today, Ari Mir, co-founder of Clutter. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So if you could first off tell us, what is Clutter?
Sure. So Clutter is a full-service storage solution. And what that means is if you're looking to store your physical belongings, we will send professional movers that we employ to your home. They will actually help you with the entire moving and packing process. So they'll bring packing materials, they'll take the plasma TV off the wall for you, they'll wrap it in a moving blanket. As part of this moving and packing process, we also photograph and catalog every item. And then on your behalf, we will transport your items to one of our safe and secure storage facilities. And then at any point in time, you can go to clutter.com, select an image of your suitcase because you're going to a trip to Hawaii, or select an image of your golf bag, and we're actually going to return deliver just those selected items to your doorstep. So it's a much more convenient solution to the storage problem.
Yeah, because what was storage like before you guys came along? It still is for most of the market.
You know, typically you'd call your friends up on a weekend and bribe them with pizza to
beer, that works.
To help you get to a U-Haul, and then you'd go rent a U-Haul. You'd have to go to Box Brothers and get materials, and then you'd have to do the hard part, which is actually packing and moving your stuff. You take it to a public storage facility, which is usually in a neighborhood that you probably don't feel too safe in, and then you store your stuff and you forget where you're storing. And a year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, and you're like, oh, my golf bag, it's in storage. And you end up just out of laziness never going to get your stuff back. And it's not really a great
solution.
You're not utilizing your belongings.
Yeah, yeah, that's not good for anyone.
No, everyone's
gotten that call before, too, where it's like, will you help me move? And you're like,
yeah, exactly.
Can't you hire me over
that? And I hate moving, so for me, this is a great business.
Yeah, awesome. Well, how did you guys come up with the idea?
Sure. So my co-founder and I, we've been friends since high school. And around 2013, we had an opportunity to work on a new project, and we wanted to work together. We always felt our skills were very complementary. You know, he's very passionate about core values and company culture and customer service, and I'm much more passionate about product and technology. And so around the spring or summer of 2013, we started just bouncing ideas off of each other. And this one week, it just so happened we both discovered self-storage for two very different reasons. His mom was a longtime self-storage customer and had received a letter from her, from the company that she had been storing with, raising her rates. And she was complaining to him, and he didn't even know that the family had a self-storage unit. He was surprised to find out how long they had been storing stuff for. And so when we jump on a call to bounce ideas off of each other, he's telling me the story, and I said, you know, it's funny that you mentioned this. I've actually been looking into the industry this past week for a very different reason, and I think the idea is to not take your stuff and store it in the city, but to help people with the moving and packing, and in exchange, we get to store it wherever we want outside the city, where we'll have a better margin profile than a traditional self-storage facility. So that was the beginning of it.
Wow, so a lot of synergy between you guys. We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, we're on the same wavelength.
Exactly. I love it. Okay, so what are the revenue streams? Do people pay a monthly fee? Do they pay a fee every single time they get one of their items?
Sure. So it's pretty straightforward. Our customers pay a monthly subscription for the service. And the amount that they pay depends, obviously, on how much they're storing with us. And then they also pay, on average, somewhere between $35 and $65 per mover per hour, depending on how much stuff they're storing, where in the country they are. But typically, if you want something back, it's around like $35, as an example.
Yeah. And one of the most impressive things about your company is you were able to get so much fundraising early on. So tell me about that process.
Sure. So, to date, we've gone through two rounds of financing. The first round of financing was led by Sequoia Capital and their venture team. And then the second round of financing was led by Sequoia Growth. And we're very fortunate in that we've been able to raise well over $30 million in venture capital. And Sequoia's
Amazing.
Been a great partner.
Yeah. Any advice for people looking to raise money for their business?
Yes, run a process. Don't just send out a few emails and test the water. You know, schedule meetings ahead of time. Make sure that your process is constrained to a very tight time horizon. You don't want people dragging out your process. It's a lot of work, but if you put the planning up front, it'll pay off dividends.
And research the right investors, too, so you're not wasting anyone's time.
100%.
Any advice once you are in that meeting, what has been really effective for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you want to control the conversation, right? And don't come into the presentation with a 20 or 30-page slide deck. Keep it simple. Keep it to 10 slides. Talk about what the problem is, the solution, how big the market is. Discuss your team and why you guys think that you're the best team to execute on that market, and don't forget to ask for money at the end. A lot of entrepreneurs, believe it or not, will talk and talk and talk, and then never really get to the point where they're like, okay, I need $5 million or I need $10 million, and this is what I need it for.
Yeah, justifying why
amount
too.
Yeah.
So this is not your first rodeo. You've been an entrepreneur for a while. Tell me about your entrepreneurial journey up until this point.
Sure. So I actually began my career as a product manager in L.A. at a technology startup called Shopzilla that was eventually acquired by Scripps. And that's kind of when I saw what it took to create a successful startup. I understood that you need an engineering organization and a product organization, HR, and so on, so on, so on. And then I was fortunate a few years later to finally start my own technology startup in Santa Monica, an ad tech startup called GumGum. And we started GumGum in, I think, around 2007. It's still around today. It employs over 200 people. It's one of the fastest-growing ad networks in the world. And then after that, I spent about 5 years there. And then after GumGum, I left and moved to San Francisco for 2 years and started a virtual currency company called Pocket Change that Google funded. That did not work out. So that from start to finish was 2 years. And it was really when I was winding down Pocket Change that I reached out to Brian and I said, look, I'm a free agent now, and sounds like you have an opportunity to be a free agent. Let's finally do something together. And that's when Clutter began.
So what was the lesson learned from Pocket Change? What didn't work, and what are you doing differently now because of it?
I cannot stress the importance of actually finding product market fit. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, when they discuss product market fit, what they're really saying is, here's the problem, I have a solution, and here's a few customers using it. That's not product market fit. Product market fit is, here's the problem, here's my solution, and not only do a few customers want to use it, but a large percentage of the addressable market wants to use it. And what we found at Pocket Change was we identified a clear problem, the solution was clever, and we had some early adopters, but we never got past that early adopter phase. It never became a mass market product for the market that we were targeting.
And how do you know if it will be? How do you test that?
It's hard to test, which is why recently what I've been advising a lot of entrepreneurs is try not to raise venture capital until you really understand whether you have true product market fit. It's okay to raise angel or some seed financing to get your prototype built, to do some initial marketing, but don't walk into a venture capitalist's office until you really feel like you've found product market fit and that their capital is simply going to be used to scale the business. What you don't want to do is raise venture capital to try to figure out how to solve the problem. That's the worst thing.
Not good for anyone.
No, those are, it's like putting on handcuffs that you then can't take off.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay, going back to your first business, Gum Gum, which was a success, what worked in that scenario?
I think the key to Gum Gum early on was that we had a true technical innovation. We had figured out how to deliver ads in a really creative way that no one had seen before. And then we kept investing in that R&D. Not only were they cleverly displayed, but they became intelligent very quickly. And shortly after launching the company, it became clear to everyone that we kind of had the best understanding of images online. And then the next phase I really give my co-founder Ophir a lot of credit for, which was, you know, taking this great technology that we had built and that we had clearly gotten some early adoption on and making it into a real business.
Got it. Well, we're going to talk more about your team at Clutter when we come back with my guest, Ari Mir, co-founder of that company. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for $19.99, plus shipping and handling. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 6767. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. With fresh flowers, guaranteed delivery, and unique vases and accessories that mom will love, Pro Flowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date and it's guaranteed or your money back. 100 colorful blooms sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days, starting at $19.99. And we'll include a free glass vase. Hurry, Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 6767. That's proflowers.com, secret code 6767.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Now let's check in with Alex Worley for good reason. She's always got somebody great. Alex?
Ari Mir, co-founder of Clutter. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. So, as promised, we're going to talk about your team. First of all, tell me, what is the setup? Who is all on your team?
Sure. So, to run Clutter, you pretty much need every function that you can imagine. You need customer service, you need sales, engineering, product, finance. We also have, that comprises about a third of our organization. So we employ currently about 200 people. So
wow.
Let's say, you know, that's about a third of them. And then the other two thirds are actually in the field doing the work, right? So we have professional movers, we have ops managers in every city. So it's a challenging organization to run, not only because you have all these different functions, but we also operate in multiple cities. So we're in Santa Barbara down to San Diego, we're in San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, we're in New York, New Jersey, and Seattle. And our goal is to launch even more cities, and so it becomes quite challenging.
Yeah, because only, did you say about one third is in the same building?
Yeah, everyone's exactly.
Outside. So
yeah.
How do you make sure that communication is seamless?
So we've really adopted the concept of radical transparency, and so we use tools to try to make as much of our communications visible to the rest of the organization as possible. So we use a service called Slack that a lot of startups use. And what's nice about Slack is it's kind of like a group chat. And so if someone's not there that moment engaging, that's okay because they can come back later and see what's been discussed in the product channel, for example.
So how would you describe your leadership style?
I think one of the things my co-founder and I have really done a good job of implementing at Clutter is a performance culture. And what that means to us is that we will clearly set our expectations for an individual or for a team within Clutter. And then what we will do is try to measure that their performance against those expectations as often as possible and communicate to them when we feel that they're either exceeding them or just meeting them or falling behind. And if they fall behind, what we do as part of having a performance culture is we have a very difficult conversation with them regarding what we think, you know, next steps would be for them at Clutter.
So are you of the theory that you hire slow, fire fast?
Yes, we hire very slowly. So we've invested heavily into our hiring funnel, and our hiring funnel is really geared around trying to identify talent. And so, for example, in most organizations, you have human resources be the initial contact for candidates. We don't think that makes sense. What we want is the hiring manager to be the initial point of contact. So I, for example, do, on average, 5 30-minute phone calls a day with candidates.
Oh, wow.
It takes a ton of time, but it's important.
Yeah.
And in these phone calls, what we're trying to do is assess communication skills, creative thinking, critical problem solving. And then after that 30-minute phone call, only about 10% of candidates get through that call. And then instead of bringing them in, like most companies would do, we have them do a case study. So it's a take-home, open book, homework assignment that will test them in the core competency that we're looking for. And then about only a third of candidates will submit a solution set that we think is a good representation of their skills. And then we finally bring them in for in-person interviews. And we have a committee of 5 to 6 people interview every single candidate for an hour each. So it's an all-day event. We give
Wow.
them lunch. Yeah, it's
so you like deserve
intense.
A trophy if you get through all of that.
Yeah, pretty much out of 1,000 applications, we only give job offers to maybe 2.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
But it's worked for you because you have an incredible staff. You're really happy with your staff.
The best thing about going to work every day is the people I work with.
That's
great. I love it,
So what all goes into your company culture? How do you execute it and really make sure that it's breathing in your company?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I like to remind the team about on a regular basis is that culture is not a light switch. You know, it's really something that needs to be clearly set and then regularly reinforced. So, for example, one of our kind of harder to understand core values is low ego. Most people define low ego as, being humble, not confident, not having conviction in your ideas. For us, that's not what low ego is about. For us, we want you to be confident. We want you to have conviction. And we want you to debate your peers. But ultimately, if Sarah or Bob has a better idea, low ego is saying Sarah has a better idea.
It's the common good of all. Yeah.
It's identifying the better idea, really, and admitting when you see it.
So you must explain this to your employees. Do you have this in one of the first meetings? Do you talk about this at regular meetings?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we're working on integrating it into our onboarding funnel for new hires. But ultimately, the best way to reinforce culture is to lead by example and show people on a regular basis. And so if we're in a meeting and I hear an idea that I really like, I make it a point to stop and have everyone acknowledge that this person came up with a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. And so you're rewarding them.
Yes.
And you're also setting the example and the tone.
Exactly, yeah.
That's great. So you work with your friend, who's your co-founder. What's that like,
Ryan.
Working with a friend?
You know, I would say it's been an amazing experience. I think the key to working with a friend is to make sure that your skills aren't overlapping, that they're truly complementary. The benefit of working with a friend, if you can find that scenario, is you know when they're having a bad day, because you've seen it before, and you know how to make them feel better, and they know when you're struggling, and they know how to make you feel better. And most importantly, conflict resolution amongst true best friends should be really easy, actually. And in the 2 years that Brian and I have been working, I think we maybe you had one argument, and it was resolved within 2 days. And the nice thing was we also moved on after resolution and never really thought about it again.
Oh,
so
that's
it's been
so great.
Great. Yeah.
So we often in these interviews talk about business plans because especially in the startup world, there's kind of two schools of thought. One is you don't need one. One is you definitely need one, especially if you're looking for investors.
Yeah.
What's your school of thought?
I think if you asked my younger self, I would have said you don't need a business plan. And I think there's some truth to that in that you don't want to overthink the business, because then you'll never get started. My friends that aren't entrepreneurs are the ones that are very good at seeing the problems. My friends that are entrepreneurs are the ones that are blind optimists.
Yeah.
They're like, it's fine, I'll figure it out.
They're problem solvers. They look for the solution.
Well, they have confidence in their abilities, and they know that the small stuff isn't going to stop them. But now that I've been an entrepreneur for 10 plus years, I would say it's really important to answer a few questions that do typically come up in a business plan. You know, what's the problem? What's the solution? This is the third one is the one that most entrepreneurs fail, and it's the reason for most of their misery. How big is the market? And if it's small, it's probably not a good opportunity.
Ari Mir, co-founder of Clutter. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Entrepreneurs are increasingly optimistic about the economy, according to the Spring 2017 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, but this isn't yet translating into new investment in their business. The survey of 1,000 small business owners nationwide found that 52% are optimistic the national economy will improve over the next 12 months, up a staggering 21% since fall 2016. However, some uncertainty still exists among small business owners, as revenue expectations and growth plans remain at the modest levels seen last fall, and plans to increase hiring shrunk to a five-year low of only 18%. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business Bank of America.
We saw a surge in economic confidence, and it's a great indicator of potential small business.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Staples knows that when your spreadsheets no longer spread, it's time. When your presentations are not presentable, it's time. And when tensions in the office are high.
No, tensions are very, very high.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has the latest HP and Dell PCs at great prices every day. And when you buy a new printer or PC at Staples, you get 30 days free tech support. So with Staples' help, your business won't miss a beat. Staples, it's pro time.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Attention. Hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced any of the following: pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Hernia mesh patch implants are used for repairing most common types of abdominal hernia, which occurs when muscles or connective tissue in your abdomen are damaged or weakened. If you have had a hernia mesh implant and suffered an injury, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. Call for more information about the recall and a free consultation. Don't be a silent victim. Call 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And joining us right now is Catherine Arnold. She's the CEO at Evolution at Sea. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Evolution at Sea, I did a little research. It sounds amazing, but tell us about it.
Evolution at Sea, we produce full ship cruise charters, and we bring together global thought leaders and speakers and Grammy-level musical artists. So imagine a TED conference meets music festival at sea.
I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to get involved in that.
I think you should.
I know some people I feel like would be a good fit for it.
I do too. And I think we could have you on as a host.
I think that would be a blast.
That would be great.
What was the hardest part about getting it started? Because I feel like for a lot of entrepreneurs, you go through different stages. As your company grows, you hit different benchmarks. As you go through life, you go through different benchmarks, and you go through new challenges. But I feel like what holds a lot of people back from getting started in entrepreneurship is the uncertainty of what it's going to be like in their first year. And so what was it like your first year getting this thing off the ground? Was it easy?
No. It does get easier, but yeah. There's challenging parts all throughout. What was the hardest part? I think just the daunting nature of what I was looking to build. A global company with a global brand, working with the top names in the speaker world and the musical world. Luckily, I have a background in the entertainment industry, so I'm fairly familiar with working with celebrities. But I think when you think about raising a large chunk of money,
yeah.
It's like, where do you begin? You know, where do you begin? So it really was kind of looking at what are the baby steps I can do along the way to make the company more attractive so the big money would come in.
And so can you disclose the number that you had to raise, or can you give us a
I'm still raising. I'm still raising. I will be honest, transparent. We're still raising. But I started a proof of concept company, which is starting to generate it. But the initial raise is $3 million with a follow-on round if we needed of another $7 million. But we can get started with $3 million.
So what do you feel like you need to allocate those funds towards?
Well, when you do a full ship cruise charter, you have to actually lease the ship. So there's a big chunk of money that goes in like leasing a 2,000-person ship.
I can imagine.
That's a lot.
Right, like the Carnival cruise ship.
Pretty much, or Celebrity or Royal Caribbean, yeah. So you have to take that ship off the market, and once you sign that contract, you own it. So whether you get Richard Branson and Alanis Morissette or John Legend, or just me, I'm responsible for selling out that ship.
So you said that the most difficult part has been probably raising the money?
Well, yes. For me, it has been raising the money. A lot of people think about, well, how are you going to produce it, and the speakers and the musical artists and all the moving parts. Like I said, I have experience in production, so that part isn't daunting to me. Okay. And I have made sure that I've gotten a top-notch team to execute. It's a big job. Yeah. And I have 4 or 5 key players that are A-listers in their own fields. So I will just delegate and let them run with it, and just we'll come together kind of an overview perspective.
Okay.
But for me personally, it's been the fundraising, because I hadn't been in the cruise industry before.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to learn my way. And now that I've started this other smaller company inside the cruise industry, it's starting to get traction on the fundraising.
What do you feel like are some of the ingredients, so to speak, that you have that have put you on the path to being a successful entrepreneur? Because I feel like a lot of the times there's the aspiring entrepreneur who sits back, they listen to shows like this, trying to connect the pieces. But they maybe don't know what they need to work on for themselves.
Right.
And one of the things I've noticed after doing hundreds and hundreds of interviews is successful people, whether they're in business or sports or anything like that, top achievers, have very similar, we'll call them ingredients or DNA.
Right.
So what do you feel like are some of the ingredients or DNA that you have that makes you successful?
You have to have passion. First and foremost, you have to have a passion to the point, as when I was in the film business, they said you have to be willing to sell your house. If you have one, but that's the concept, right? You have to be really willing to give your soul to it. So your vision and your desire and your passion has to be so strong that you're willing to take rejection, you're willing to hit the roadblocks, you're willing to hear no 100 times, and you just keep on going. And I think you have to have a sense of discipline. Because no one's telling you to get up out of bed. No one's telling you to get to your computer. No one's telling you to write that business plan or, you know, create that deck. No one's telling you to pick up the phone, you know, and call the agent of whomever. So you really have to have a lot of self-discipline and a lot of drive.
How do you stay hungry, though? Because I feel like so many entrepreneurs, one of the key ingredients is hunger. Like, they're hungry for success. They're hungry to be better. They're hungry to make an impact in the world. So how do you stay hungry? Some people say that it's the power of your why, the reason behind what you do. What is it for you?
Fear of failure, number one. No. Look, sometimes I just want to go on a beach and be a bartender and drink margaritas all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, I dream of that all the time. But I also know that there's so much more I could be doing, and there's so many more people I could be reaching, and there's so many bigger things that I could be doing and having fun in my life. So it's a combination of really loving what I do and making sure that I could do it every day, being with a group of people that I find extraordinary, and seeing the light in other people's eyes when I talk about what I'm doing and when I actually deliver. It really it drives me.
Would you want to work for your own company as an employee in your own business?
I would love to work with my company. You get to travel. You get to be with, like, top-notch people in their fields. You get to do a variety of things. It's creative. It's production. It's business. It's working with lawyers. It's working with bankers. Yeah. It's everything, really.
What's been the most difficult points of dealing with these celebrities? Because I've had to deal with celebrities before, some of the different businesses we've done, gala events for charities. And sometimes either the people that you have to work with to get to the celebrity, the managers and stuff like that, they're not easy. But sometimes the celebrities aren't easy to deal with. So do you have a story, an example? You don't have to name the person, of somebody who's maybe been difficult to deal with.
Well, you know, it's a little bit different when you're working with actors who have to get out of the trailer and go speak lines, and you're working with a musician. Yeah. But I think the hardest thing really is to get them to actually sign the contract in the time frame you need them to sign.
Yeah, that's never easy to do.
They're busy, and they've got a lot of deals, and they have a lot of choices. Yeah. They could be super excited about what you're doing, but they're super excited about five things and their own things. So, like I said, you really have to find the win for them.
And yeah, I think that's a good simple piece of advice, is do your research so that you can figure out what does a win-win look like for everybody involved.
Exactly.
CEO of Evolution at Sea, Catherine Arnold, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. I like to talk about values. I feel like it's something that not a lot of people talk about when it comes to business, is what are some of the driving values, like your compass, that really steers you in the right direction? I feel so many people are just unconsciously conditioned with their values, be it their religion or their belief systems about the world, that they unconsciously were conditioned with from being, you know, raised with their parents, friends, family, social media, the news.
Sure.
But I've noticed that successful people, again, in sports or business or anything, consciously start to choose what they want to value, whether that's personal growth, personal development, contribution, integrity, the people that they surround themselves with, their standards. So what do you feel like has been some of the values that you have that have really served you in business?
Well, they probably served me and been my demise as well. I think integrity is really important. And when you're coming into the entertainment industry, you know, integrity is pretty shaky. You know, you've got a lot of people that are just really ego-driven, and they'll just, you know, drive over anybody to get to where they to get to the top.
Yeah.
And for me, that was part of the industry that I didn't like. I really like creating rapport, and I really like having a good time with the people that I'm working with. And for me, that's a value in my company, is that everybody loves what they're doing and wants to hang out. I was able to do that on the film set. I have film crews that were still friends after 10 to 15 years, which is, you know, hard given that we have such disparate lives. I think that at this point in my life, giving back is really important. You know, I think making money is great, and it allows you to have a lot of freedoms, but it also allows you to give back.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're facing today in the world, there's a lot of challenges. And I think that we in entertainment and media have an opportunity to really kind of spread a message, but also influence, you know, people, and especially the younger generations, in terms of what are their next steps, how are they going to work together. I think those would be the two big ones for me.
I want to know how you create the culture and the environment on these cruise ships. I feel like that's got to be one of the most important things, is that the theme, the environment, the culture of everyone involved has to just be like top notch. You're bringing in some of the most successful celebrities and thought leaders in the world, and they have extremely high standards.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're putting on quite a show.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do you maintain the type of environment and culture that I'm envisioning in my head?
Well, there's a couple things. With the celebrities, you have to make sure that you're meeting them on a human level, and that you understand whether they are a big people person, or whether they need their privacy, whether they want to participate, or whether they want to hold back. And I think that they have that right to kind of decide for themselves how they want to experience it. So it's a big listening conversation.
Okay.
And if they want to be out in the crowds, you let them be out in the crowds. If they want to have their private space, you honor that. And again, you really listen and make sure that you understand who you're dealing with. That's on the celebrity side. What I love to do in bringing the people together is get to know each and every person. On a 2,000 person ship, I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But our team knows that you want these people to have the vacation of their lifetime. So you want to know who they are. You want to introduce them to people. It's like throwing a great party.
Yeah.
You know when you go to a great party and it's awesome, and other parties are like kind of stiff. It oftentimes comes from the host. So you want to make sure that there's like good music. You want to make sure that there's good food and drinks. You want to make sure that there's lots of different activities. And you want to engage people. You know, if you see a shy person, talk to them and introduce them to someone and then let them go off and have a good time.
I think it's a good point that, you know, you're sort of the one leading the show, or in this case, leading the ship, and you have to really create the environment. Yeah. And I can only imagine that you're running around making sure everything is all, you know, buttoned up on the ship. That's got to be quite an experience.
And also be relaxed. Be one of the people. I never like to make myself as a superior person. When I was a producer, you know, I'd walk around and people would say, are you in makeup? Are you in wardrobe? You know, and I'm like, no, I'm actually the producer. But I think that you want to, I like creating a VIP experience for those people that like that, but I also want to create an extraordinary experience for everybody who's on the ship. And that means me personally being accessible, being human, having a good time with everybody. You have to love what you do.
Yeah.
You know, I love to entertain. So if you don't, it wouldn't be your job. And everybody I hire has to be, well, I would say the people that I work with, I don't even like to say hire, like, because I'm, as I said, I'm hiring or working with people that are top-notch in their field.
Yeah.
They have to have a good personality. They have to love people.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things for any business, is making sure that the people coming in are incredible. Because you can have the strategies and the systems and the right product, but if you don't have the right people, none of it's going to work. We're wrapping up our segment right now.
Okay,
I want to know, what is one quote that you live by? I feel like so many people love quotes these days. What's one that you live by? Or one that you like? Doesn't have
There's a quote by Richard Branson that is actually on my email that basically says, you know, if you have the passion and the drive and the dream, you can bring that and inspire others. And so for me, what I hope is in my journey and my work and what I'm creating inspires other people to be the best person that they can be and have the best time in their life, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
I love that. And that was something that we talked about. People just need to focus on becoming their best self.
Absolutely.
Catherine, pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much. It was great being here.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
My name is Preston James. I've been a stock and options trader for 23 years. I used to be an active swing trader, but that all changed once I discovered my MoneyPress weekly paycheck method. These days, I'm a passive trader, hauling in more cash while being able to sleep at night than I ever dreamed possible. I'm passionate about the market, and I like to keep it simple. My methods are changing thousands of lives, and I'm confident it can change yours. But let the proof do the talking by going to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll see a 7-minute video revealing how my MoneyPress method grew a $54,000 account to $174,000 in less than 9 months. That works out to 5.8% per week. You'll see the proof right inside my real brokerage account. This isn't about overnight riches, but once you discover this for yourself, you can start on this same path overnight. You're 7 minutes away from changing everything you thought you knew about trading and investing. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
How long would it take you to get to a hospital in a critical emergency? More than 85 million Americans live more than an hour's drive from a trauma center. Emergency transport by helicopter is often the only way to get a patient to the hospital when every minute counts, especially in rural communities. Dr. Dark Havaspor says it can be a matter of life and death, and that we need to protect access to these vital medical services.
It's the trauma surgeon like myself or an ER physician who receives these patients in the emergency room. So I see firsthand what an incredible difference it makes when patients arrive in the ER having been transported quickly by the air medical crew. It's during these emergencies that every second matters, and we really cannot let these services go away.
With rising healthcare costs and increased hospital closures, supporters of Emergency Air Medical Services have launched the Save Our Air Medical Resources campaign to protect access to emergency healthcare for millions of Americans. For more information, visit soarcampaign.com. I'm Doug Descher reporting.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember,
We specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Attention, Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
How do you build a high-performance team? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us to answer that question is Stephanie Newby, the CEO of Crimson Hexagon. So how do we do it, Stephanie?
Building a high-performance team takes a lot of work. I think it's much less about putting people around a table and meeting with them every week, and much more about being really careful right in the beginning with who you hire and making sure that they fit together well with each other. So I've always involved the team members in selecting new members of the team, and also looked for diversity in the team. And I'm proud to say in our executive team at Crimson Hexagon, we have equally balanced between men and women, so four of each. And I've never worked in a team myself with so many women, so I'm enjoying that. And then you've really got to start with establishing trust. And that's not about trust falls or kumbaya. That's something we say a lot at Crimson. It's really about making sure that you have, first of all, a common goal that people are passionate about. So you've got to work hard to find that one. Hopefully it's not just about making money, but it's really about creating a fantastic company where people will love to work, that will, you know, make work a joy for them. That's what I would, that's my goal for Crimson Hexagon.
So creating an environment where the team actually loves it and they thrive in that environment. And I think that's one of the crucial points to not only creating a high performance team, but also making sure that you retain one for the long term. Just to position you as an expert on this topic, you have over 200 employees, 100 of which have just been hired in the last year. So your team's growing very fast. You're a perfect example of creating and building and retaining a high performance team. So let's talk to the people, though, who are saying, well, that's great for Stephanie that she just hired 100 new people in the last year, but I'm not remotely close to that kind of level with my business. How can I build a high performance team with a bootstrap budget?
So when you're bootstrapping, then I think you're looking for people who will really complement your talents. And you can't afford to go and hire people that are just like you, because then you've still got gaps. So
that's huge. I want to stop right there. People over and over and over again say, one of the mistakes I made early on was hiring people who were just like me. Why is that a mistake?
Because you need a variety of skills to run a company, and you also need people who really challenge you. And I found the people that I've learned the most from often are people that work for me, that are really smart. They're thinking about the business, you know, maybe their segment of the business just as much as I'm thinking about the business as a whole. So they're going to come up with good ideas, and they'll challenge me all the time. And I encourage that. So one thing that I think you don't want is loyalty.
And that's very counterintuitive. I've never heard that.
Exactly. And that's because I think if you create a culture where loyalty is paramount, then it's seen to be disloyal to challenge the boss. And I would not want that at all. I want people who are going to really, you know, challenge me. And the ones that do that the best, I find, are the ones that read widely themselves. They're researching. And they also spend time really thinking about the moves that they're going to make in their business and thinking about the company overall. And so they're really starting to put their, you know, where their head's at, similar to my head. And that's the best value that I can get, because they care about the company as much as I care. And therefore, we're really two peers having a conversation about what's best for the company.
CEO of Crimson Hexagon, Stephanie Newby, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and we're talking about how to create a high-performance team. I've gone over some great things so far. Do you feel like there's anything that maybe we've left out right now? I mean, I can think of a few, but from your perspective, what is something that you for sure want to touch on when it comes to, and it's absolutely crucial, when it comes to creating and hiring a high-performance team?
So we talked a little bit about trust, but remember, it's not trust falls and kumbaya. So how do you create that? And I really think that what you have to do is get to what the essence of the person is and why they joined the company in the first place, so that you can really help each other with your hopes and dreams. And I think that you've got to be willing to be a little bit vulnerable to each other to really get to that. So we've, you know, we've had quite a few sessions with our executive team to really make sure we understand where all the different perspectives are coming from, so that we can support each other, because we're going to need to do that at one point or other. So that's really valuable. And then we talked previously about conflict and being willing to put all your cards on the table. And if you've got people who really have the same goal and are passionate about it, then they will want to argue a topic through to get to the right solution. So I think you've got to be able to give people training in leading meetings, so that they become more conscious of being able to get the, you know, get that conflict on the table in a way that's safe and make it not a bad thing that you then have to, you know, deal with later.
Well, you said a word that stood out to me. I love everything that you just said, and it was leading, because you definitely want to train your team to be able to lead by example and to be able to lead in meetings, as you were touching on. And regardless of a high-performance team or a team in a company in general, they all need a great leader. And when it comes to a high-performance team, what do you think are some of the key traits of a leader for a high-performance team?
Well, I think you have to be very disciplined. And I find that the, especially the early stage entrepreneurship world, it, things can be a little hokey and you, without structure.
Yeah.
We talked about structure earlier too. And I do think what you have to be is quite self-disciplined and disciplined about certain, you know, key processes for the company, like your sort of weekly management meeting. You've got to be punctual. You've got to start a meeting on time and end it on time. You've got to make it so that people want to be there, not just that thing that I was really, you know, find was no value.
Yeah.
So a bit of discipline early on, I think, can really help, because people, it sets expectations for people.
Yeah. Stephanie, some great advice. Thank you for coming on the show.
Great to meet you, Mark. Thank you.
Great to meet you as well. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Their free, unbiased resources can help.
BizTalk Radio.